glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, I love this. Listen to this. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Oh, friend, we need the Lord. And all God's people said amen to that. That's a great reminder today. Psalm 63, verse 1. Good to see you. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. I am the guest host today, Joey Kroll. It is, of course, Thursday, October the 8th, 2020. And wow, I am not complaining, but what a warmer week this week for the autumn season. That's for sure. I'm not complaining, and I'll take it any day. I'll take it any day. It is a pretty time of the year. It certainly is. We have lots of trees on our property, and probably here in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be a whole lot more colorful. It really is. It is very pretty, almost like picture perfect. You get stand in the right spot, take a picture at just the right angle, and it's a postcard. It really is. It's so pretty. Great to see God's handiwork on display. That's for sure. Well, friend, I pray that you're having a blessed week, a great Thursday, and coming up for Mark and Friends today, we're going to be talking about the hope of the resurrection. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to you and me today in 2020? What does that mean? What does that mean? And so today, we're going to be taking a look at four truths about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You don't want to miss this. We're going to take a look at a couple of different passages from the book of Matthew and 1 Corinthians 15. The hope of the resurrection coming up right after this here on Mark and Friends.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God.
listening to Mark and Friends today. Happy Thursday. It's Joey Kroll. I heard of a story of a man and his wife and his cranky mother-in-law. They all went on vacation to the Holy Land. And while they were there, the mother-in-law passed away. And the undertaker told them, hey, you can have her shipped home for $5,000, or you can bury her right here in the Holy Land for only $150. And the man thought about it for a little bit and told the undertaker and said, you know what, we'll just have her shipped home and we'll just pay the $5,000. And the undertaker said, why in the world would you spend $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when it would be wonderful to be buried here and spend only $150? And the man said, you know what? A man died here 2,000 years ago. He was buried here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I just can't take that risk with my mother-in-law. Hey, don't laugh at that. That's not funny. Oh, dear friend, today we are talking about here at Mark and Friends the hope of the resurrection. The hope of the resurrection. Matthew chapter 28, after Jesus had died, they put him in a borrowed tomb, and they guarded the tomb, sealed the tomb, rolled a stone over the tomb. And Matthew 28, verse 1, it says, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, listen, friend, do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Oh, dear friend. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to me? You know, we tend to talk about the resurrection only around Easter time, only around what, March, April, but friend, the hope of the resurrection is year round. And so today I want to talk about four truths, what the resurrection means for you and for me today in 2020. First of all, the resurrection means that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, Jesus said something really interesting. He said that he had the authority to take down his life and take it up again. The fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross does not prove that he is God, because a lot of people died on a cross at that time. Jesus proved his divine nature, listen, by fulfilling the predictions of his death and by returning from the grave. Romans chapter 1 verse 3 says concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, watch this, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friend, if you go to Confucius's grave, it will be occupied. If you go to Buddha's grave, it will be occupied. If you go and find Mary's grave, it will be occupied. If you go to Joseph Smith's grave, it will be occupied. If you go to Muhammad's grave, it will be occupied. If you go to Jesus's grave, it's empty, dear friend. It's empty because Jesus Christ came out of that grave because of the resurrection. It points to Jesus being the Son of God. Because of the resurrection, dear friend, sin did not win. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, I think that's probably, now, don't quote me on this because I don't want it to come back to me from years from now, but 1 Corinthians 15 is probably one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. I would say maybe in the top 10, maybe. Just incredible truth in 1 Corinthians 15. And so God is using a man by the name of Paul to address a false doctrine, a false belief that Jesus Christ never raised from the dead. And so he's addressing that, and he's kind of labeling and talking about this is what would happen if Jesus is still in that grave. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, it says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. What a thought. What a sobering reality. If Jesus is still in that grave, we are still in our sins. Friend, all of us have sinned. I mean, it don't matter how many times you go to church. It don't matter how many times you listen to Mark and Friends. It don't matter how much money you give to the church. All of us have sinned, and God cannot overlook your sin. If God were to cease to judge sin, God would cease to be holy. God never lets sin go unpunished. Adrian Rogers once said, your sin will be pardoned in Christ or punished in hell, but it will never be overlooked. But if Jesus is still in that grave, that means that God did not accept the sacrifice of Calvary. No resurrection, no Savior. No Savior, no forgiveness. No forgiveness, no hope. But friend, because that tomb is empty, my sin debt has been paid. My account has been taken care of. My slate has been clean. Because of that tomb being empty today, sin did not win. Hallelujah. Today we're talking about the hope of the resurrection and four truths about the resurrection. One, the resurrection means that Jesus is the Son of God. The resurrection means sin did not win. And number three, it means death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18, again, Paul is looking at this false doctrine, this false belief that Jesus never rose, was raised from the dead. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18, he says, if Jesus is still in that grave, verse 18 says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Have perished. Friend, for every Christian, every single follower of Christ that we know that passes on, friend, there's a sadness. There's a sadness. There is a hurt. There's pain that's associated when a loved one that we know that knew Jesus passes on. There's a sadness. There's a hurt. There's a pain. But friend, there is a hope. There is a hope. There is a joy. There is a peace. Because we will see them again. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, it says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Watch this. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You know, in the Old Testament times when they were going to have a harvest, the priest would go into the field and he would take a sheaf of the first grain. They would call it the first fruits. And so he would bring it into the temple. They would have this great ceremony and they would wave it before the Lord. And it was called the Feast of the First Fruits. And this was called a wave offering, just waving this handful of wheat or grain, whatever it was, before the Lord. It was a promise, and a prophecy that because there are the first fruits, the harvest is to come. There is more to come. There is going to be a harvest. Dear friend, Jesus Christ is the first fruits, and ladies and gentlemen, we are the harvest. Because Jesus came out of that grave, we too are coming out of that grave also. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 55 says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Because Jesus Christ was raised from that grave, it means that death has been defeated. Because of the resurrection, it points to Jesus being the Son of God. Because of the resurrection, it means sin did not win. Because of the resurrection, death has been defeated. Dear friend, because of the resurrection, we have a forever hope. 1 Corinthians 15:19. Again, Paul's building off of that thought of, man, are you kidding me? You don't believe there's a resurrection? And he says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Now, it's true, dear friend, knowing Jesus and loving Jesus can make this life better. Hallelujah for you. But sometimes it can make life, this life, worse. Look at Paul in the Bible. When he came to Christ and following the will of God in his life physically got worse. I mean, this man was in prison most of his ministry. He was beaten several times. He was shipwrecked. He was flawed. I mean, all of these things, his life physically got worse. And so Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. In other words, with all I have endured for Jesus Christ, if there is not a resurrection and if there is no heavenly reward beyond this life, then I am a fool to be pitied. But friend, because of that empty tomb, we can be filled with hope, not for this life only, but for all of eternity. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. In other words, friend, there's a better day coming. There is a better day coming. Right now, we got sickness, we got persecution, we got cancer, we got pain, and there are times that it is overwhelming and great, but one day, you and I will experience something even greater. Johnny Erickson Tata, she said, the best we can hope for in this life is a knothole peek at the shining realities ahead, yet a glimpse is enough. It's enough to convince our hearts that whatever sufferings and sorrow currently assail us aren't worthy of comparison to that which waits over the horizon. Friend, there is hope in the resurrection. It proves that Jesus is the Son of God. It proves that sin did not win. It proves that death does not have dominion. And friend, it points to a forever hope in Christ Jesus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he is always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. The murderer is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks. You ask me how I know he lives. talk.